Ken, can you turn these lights on? Ken. Ezekiel 47. We talked a little bit about this during Bible study, and I just really felt led just to teach on it for a little bit. Ezekiel 47, let's read. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. For the house faced east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside of the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. And he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there was very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, these waters go out toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will become about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish, and these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Eglam, and there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. And by the river on its banks, on one side or the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They'll bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for the food, and their leaves for healing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we just bless you, God. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for gathering us, God, this day. And Lord, we ask, God, that we have not come, God, just to be with friends, Lord. We've not come just to do something on Sunday, God. We've come to meet with you, God, And we ask right now, Lord, that you would send us your Holy Spirit. God, release your revelatory ministry in this room, God. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to us today. God, we thank you so much, God. We just bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This is quite a well-known passage. And if you have any ideas of what this passage or what Ezekiel is trying to say, he's talking about revival. And this is actually something I want to talk a little bit about today. But, you know, revival is one of those things. It's a special appointed period of time. It doesn't happen all the time, but it's a special appointed period of time where God just comes in His fullness. You know, I have my minister credentials, basically, with the Assemblies of God. And it's really interesting how even the AG started, you know, back in... This is in the early 1900s, probably even in the late 1899 or so. There were actually a group of students, and they were in a Bible college run by a guy named Charles Parham. In this Bible college, there were people that really believe in the Holy Spirit, you know, and really kind of really love God, and there were actually just a couple young female students, you know, very young, maybe about 17, 18 years old. And in their own quiet time, they begin to read the book of Acts. And as they were reading Acts, they were really drawn to this one phrase, and it says, tongues of fire. You know, and they would ask the professor, what does this mean? What is tongues of fire? What is this whole thing talking about? You know, and he would begin to tell them that this was what they call the gift of tongues. You know, and you have to understand kind of the timing, right? No one really practiced this back in those days, right? It was just one of those things that was in the Bible, you know, and it's one of those things that happened, and they had no idea. And these ladies says, well, how come we don't, you know, these girls said, how come we don't speak in tongues now? How come we don't have these tongues of fire now? And the professor was kind of dumbfounded and just kind of like, well, I don't know. I really don't know why we don't have it now. And so these girls begin to pray in their prayer group, and they would ask God for tongues of fire to come down. And they would sit before, you know, and these were Bible school students, and they would sit there and they would just pray, God, bring tongues of fire. Release your fire. We don't know what it is. Whatever it is, just bring it. We want it. You know, I mean, that's what started the church in Acts, and we want it now for our day. And so there was this hunger that God was putting inside of them. Lo and behold, during one of the classes, Holy Spirit decided to show up. And Holy Spirit showed up, and people just started speaking in tongues. And it wasn't just a spiritual manifestation, but they were beginning to be filled with power. You know, before they were shy to, you know, witness to their friends or whatnot. All of a sudden, there was an incredible unction that came over them, and now they were filled with boldness. You know, now they were happy that they were Christians. You know, now they were excited to share Christ with others. You know, and not only that, they felt faith inside of them, you know, to go pray for the sick, and they started getting healed. I mean, so many just incredible things happened during this time. And they prayed. They saw something in Scripture. They said, well, why don't we have it now? They begin to pray, and God moved. That's actually a really great pattern if you see it. It happens a lot through church history. And so what happened, there happened to be a really poor black pastor that was sitting there, you know, and he had been in the meeting, and he caught something, right? He caught the Holy Spirit. His name was William Seymour. And he had a patch in his eye. He was a, you know, one-eyed black preacher. And this guy could preach. And so he actually got called to a church in Los Angeles. So he moved from Kansas, where he's at, and he went all the way to Los Angeles. And the church had called him there, but during this time, there was a lot of racism, and the church didn't know he was black, right? And so they called him, and then when he came, and you know, all of a sudden he's black, he says, well, we can't have you at our church, right? I mean, this is just the ugliness of racism. And so he left, and he started a church in a barn on Azusa Street, right? This is kind of God's providence, right? You know, and, you know, interesting enough, you know, those guys kind of got shut out, you know, during a great time of revival. Well, he starts church in a little barn in Azusa Street, you know, and all of a sudden he began to preach, and he just began to share exactly what was going on, right, in the Midwest, what the Holy Spirit had done. And he literally was a carrier, and he brought that to Los Angeles. And so he'd have meetings, and people would come, and black and white would come, which in those times was just unheard of. And they would come to the meetings, and when they would come, something incredible would happen. You're talking about men and women that spent a bulk of their Christian lives going to church, being faithful, you know, giving money, you know, singing the songs, you know, all these things. But they were missing something. You know, there was something about their relationship with God that they could see from a distance, but they couldn't quite grab a hold of it themselves. They can hear about it from someone else, and there was something else going on, but they couldn't attain it for themselves. And they would, these guys would come to the meeting, and the Holy Spirit would come down with power. I mean, he would come in his incredible love and his favor. And if these guys had issues, boom, instantly, they were done away with. And God began to move over these people. You know, I probably shared with you before, I actually have a front page of LA Times back in storage back in the United States. Maybe when I go home, I'll bring it this time. And a front page, and what had happened was literal tongues of fire came down upon this building. People actually called the fire department, you know, and fire department rushed in, you know, and they came in there because people literally saw fire on the roof of this barn, you know, and the you know, firemen come out, where's the fire, where's the fire? Well, the fire wasn't on the barn, the fire was inside the barn. Hallelujah. That's a good time for an amen. Amen, right? You know, and so, you know, I mean, and God just began to move over these people. I'm just, incredible signs and wonders happened. You know, God began to release their spiritual language. This really started kind of one of the avenues of the modern mission movement. Because what would happen is you'd have a husband and wife, right, who just really loved God. And all of a sudden they get filled with the Spirit. And all of a sudden they start speaking a very ancient dialect, African dialect. And you know what they do? They go to Africa. You know, I mean, can you imagine what a meeting would be? It'd be like us in this room right here, right? You know, it was probably a little more in that bar. Probably not as nice seats as we have now. The Spirit of God just comes down. All of a sudden, someone starts speaking in some language. Someone recognizes, oh, man, you're speaking da-da-da dialect. And then next week, that person's gone to that country. Can you imagine? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that was happening. It was the most amazing thing. And the people all around begin to hear what God was doing in Los Angeles. You know, begin to hear what the Holy Spirit was doing and what He was starting, what He was birthing. And this was the modern day Pentecost movement. It was a revival. It was a revival. Right? It was basically people reading the Scriptures, you know, and just taking it in, you know, and the Holy Spirit just kind of just breathing on them and saying, wouldn't you like to have that? Right? And then some people would respond and say, yeah, I want to have that. And I would love, you know, for the Lord to just begin to fill my heart. And, you know, and you know, Lord, I've got this weakness. I've got that and this. But God, I know that that's nothing compared to what You want to do through my life. And it comes in seasons of revival. And if I want to, I mean, if I accomplish anything today, I want to set maybe a little seed inside of some of you that just makes you hungry for what God wants to do in our day and our time. Right? It's just a little intrigue inside of you. You know, maybe something that's been buried deep inside that rings up the possibility, God, can you do that to me? If I just plant that little seed inside of you, I think that's enough for the Holy Spirit to do the rest of the work, don't you think? You know, and this is what we're talking about. Ezekiel is pointing to a time here about a season of revival. What God wants to do through His church. And the picture that you have here, it's this water, right? And if you guys were in Bible study, you know the water is the moving of the Spirit. And, you know, water is life and all these things. You know, we're talking so much about water these days and through John. You know, and this water that flows from the temple and the power that this water has. Basically, we're talking about the moving of the Spirit. You know, and I tell you, if you, it seems like I've been saying this over and over again. When you experience it, you just want more. When you haven't, you want it, you know, and so there could be a hunger there. Sometimes, you know, you don't give a rip anyway, right? So, I mean, you know, that just happens in life, right? And stuff. But then, you know, when you have it, you want it more. When you don't have it, you even want it, right? And this is this interchange is happening. You know, our youth group. You know, I was a very just very simple. I just wanted to have a nice little church, right? Just want to have a nice little youth ministry. And we started out with just a handful of kids, and we just grew and grew and grew, and God was blessing us, and I thought we were doing okay. And all of a sudden, you know, something began to stir inside of me as a leader, you know, and I just began to get hungry, you know, and I just began to look at kind of, you know, the church, and, you know, and it's like, well, it's cool. Our church is cool. But there's more. You know, there's a lot more. You know, and I speak this because I find myself actually in a crossroads right now. You know, and I look at our church. Our church is cool, right? It's really nice people, you know, friendly faces and, you know, talented people, you know, and all these things. And yet there's something inside. There's got to be more. You know, I've had seasons in my Christian experience, you know, where God leads me and the only way that I can describe it is this holy unsatisfaction with life. You know what I mean? This holy unsatisfaction with church, with status quo. You know, I preach every week, I teach, I do all these things, but yet there's something deep inside. It's like this monster inside of me that says, let me out. There's got to be more. You know, and I just sense it. You know, this November will accumulate the 3 years. I've been in Hong Kong for 3 years. Man, time went by so fast. Elise is 3 weeks old tomorrow. I feel like she's been here a lifetime already. You know, it's the most amazing thing. You know, my mom left Friday night. Oh my goodness. You know when we dropped her off, I was so scared. I was trying to be strong for my wife, but I was scared, man. You know, and last night actually was the first sleepless night that I've had. I didn't recognize, because I'm such a heavy sleeper, you know, I didn't realize that my mom was up every night with the kid, right? Small kid, man. Big lungs. It's the most amazing thing, right? And, where am I getting to that? This is just my sleeplessness just speaking, right? You know, but just looking, what's this thing? That's right, time flies. Thank you, right? Time flies, right? Time has been flying, and I come to this place of just really kind of reassessing, you know, and just thinking, okay, you know, where are we going from here? You know, what's going to happen now? I'll be honest, right? Because I mean, that's all I can be, right? I've started receiving a lot of job offers in the States these days. You know, just left and right, things have been happening. So at first, it kind of sat me down and says, well, do I even want to be in Hong Kong? Right, and the answer is yes. So, no one worry, okay? No, don't freak out and stuff. And so, but it got me thinking more. And then, you know, it got me thinking more about me. And then now I'm really thinking about church, you know, and Solomon's Porch, and you know, where are we going? You know, what's the point? You know, I share with this in our EG group. I'll be honest, right? you know, if our whole point of being here is that we made friends in Hong Kong and, you know, that you guys are lonely because you're on your own, expats, and now you have a community, it's not good enough, man. I'll just be honest. It's not good enough. You know, there's got to be some divine reason why we exist here. You know, do you think you're here just to earn your paycheck and work for some bank? And come on, man. You think God's that stupid? You know what I mean? You think God's that simple? You know, that brings you all the way halfway around the world, you know, and you come here and, you know, and your whole life is just 20 hours at the bank? Come on. I mean, is that the sum of your life? I certainly hope not. I think there's a divine, there's something, you know, there's got to be some redeeming quality of what God brought you here for. You know, and it's going to flow through the confines of the church. And so we ask, where are we going? And so, you know, I get drawn back to this passage. You know, and this is this river, this incredible move of God that flows through. You know, and if you, we're just going to dissect it a little bit and just kind of move along with it. You know, and here's, you know, the water flows from the temple. Right? And this is a really important aspect because the water flows from God. In other words, your source is the Lord. Right? Your source, your very existence comes from God. You know, put on the side. It doesn't come from your quiet time. Right? It doesn't come from coming to church. Your relationship with God comes from being with God. Right? It comes from you personally spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in the activity, right? Don't ever let activity be a substitute for relationship. It's not in the activity. It's in walking with God. It's in that personal relationship. And so it flows from the temple, right? From on high. And the water comes down. And the move of God begins to come. And this is what he does. Verse 3. He goes out, right? And he says, he led me through the water, water that reaches the ankles. And this is how the move of God comes, right? The source comes from God. And he comes, and as the water hits our ankles, right, he teaches us how to walk. Just very simply, he teaches us how to walk. You get in a relation with God, and you learn how to walk with God. Right? You learn what it means to just take God's hand and just let him lead you through something. Right? Sometimes lead you through dark places. But you learn to just hold his hand, and you just learn to walk. Right? You learn to have quiet times, and you learn to pray. You learn to read the Bible, hopefully. You know, and you just learn to walk. You just learn relationship. And it kind of leads you that way. Right? And then, right, then he takes you to the next level. And he says, all of a sudden, he brings you out. This is verse 4. And it says, you know, he measured 1,000, led me through the water, water reaching the knees. And so what does the Lord do? He teaches us how to pray. Right? He teaches us how to walk. Then he teaches us how to pray. He teaches us how we need to get on our knees. You know, I think I said it weeks and weeks ago. Right, there's got to be a moment, right? I mean, I say moments in your life where you need to learn how to cry out to God. Right? I mean, there's got to be times when there's a desperation, you know, when there's, you know, even a wrestling. You know, we used to say a lot of time, you know, to people like, especially people that are preaching, you never trust anyone that doesn't first walk with a limp. Right? Referring to Jacob. You know, him wrestling with an angel. There's got to be, in our Christian experience, there's got to be some moment, you know, one moment, and there'll be many, many moments where you learn to really wrestle with God. Right? You learn to really get on your knees and really just slug it out with him if need be. You know, I showed this before, but one of my favorite movies is Forrest Gump, right? You know, I know it's kind of a stupid, simple movie, you know, but there's this one scene in there that I just really, really enjoy. That's when Captain Dan, right? Remember, he's you know, he got his leg cut off, and Forrest, you know, took him out to, you know, save his life, basically. You know, and he's really angry. You know, becomes an alcoholic, and you know the whole story. Yeah, I think everyone's watched Forrest Gump, right? And then he gets on top in the midst of the storm, and he's sitting there and he's fighting with God. I love that, man. I just love that. You know, not that some guy's fighting with God, but there's a wrestling that happens. I mean, when I was watching that, I knew that guy's going to get saved. I know it's just a movie, right? You know, but I just knew, right? Because there's that wrestling. You know, and when people love God enough, when people, you know, just want to know the answers enough, they'll struggle with God. They'll wrestle with God. They'll wrestle with an angel. They'll fight. You know, they'll maybe flip God off a couple times, right? You know, actually I was sharing with our group, during our EG group, that you know, our chapter was on that these days. And, you know, I remember very distinctly, you know, I was driving over a hill. This is right when my grandmother died. You know, and I remember looking up to the sky, and I opened up the sunroof, and I started flipping God off. And then I realized how stupid it is. Like, God can't see through the sunroof, right? But I opened up the sunroof purposely, just in case you don't see me, God, through my sunroof, right? You know, and you kind of remember those times, because God always comes through, right? God will never disappoint, right? Those who trust in the Lord will not be disappointed, the prophet says. You know, and so he teaches how to pray. You know, and we learn to get on our knees, and we learn to contend. We learn to pray. We learn to seek the Lord in that way. Right? You know, the prophet says, seek the Lord while he can still be found. And he teaches us. And then he continues on. And then he takes another. And he goes, again, this is verse 4. He measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Right? And he teaches us how to reproduce. Right? He teaches us how to disciple people. He teaches us how to witness to people. Right? He teaches us, you know, how to make other disciples like Jesus, like ourselves. And he leads us in this way. Right? And you can see this progression of what God wants to do. You know, and I'm just praying, and I can just feel kind of just this water, you know, just trying to flow through us, you know, in many different ways. You know, and then finally, this is the best part, actually. He comes to this place. And in verse 5, again he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And then, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit, right? God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit move so rampantly, so awesomely in our lives that we just totally surrender. We just totally surrender. This is when you just jump in and you let God have it all. You know what I mean? It's, you know, before, you know, you're kind of walking through the water, you kind of control everything. You know, and then, you know, the water's hitting your knees and you're controlling, you know, the water's hitting your waist. You know, I don't know if any of you guys, you know, surf or swim in the ocean or anything like that. You know, you're kind of, you know, in this way, you're kind of in control. But then you get to the waters, right, where it goes over you and, you know, it just overwhelms you. And you just totally surrender to the water. You just totally surrender to the Spirit. Church, that's what God wants. That's what God wants. You know, not that he wants to be this puppeteer and kind of maneuver your life, but God wants control. He really does. God wants to control your life because God wants the best things for your life. He doesn't want to control your life because what makes you, you know, miserable. Or God wants to control your life. He wants you to give control because he wants your life to be blessed. He wants your life to be full. He wants your life to be joyful. He wants your life to be so exciting, right? I mean, so fulfilling. That's what he wants. And so he wants control. Because it'll only come through that. You know, I think about this. I mean, you know, we've been living our lives for so long on our own. How happy are you? I mean, how full of joy are you? How content are you? Right? You've done it your way all this time. Yeah. You gave God some lip service along the way, you know, and you were sincere a few times, right? When you did that, let's be honest, right? Where are you at now? I mean, I'm asking myself, where am I at now? You know, I want to give God more control, and the Spirit comes in such a way, rushes through, and we no longer control our own lives. Church, that's my goal for my life. I want to be so God-centered. You know, I want to be so non-Sam, right? You know, non-self-centered as possible, that the river just flows. And, you know, and one thing, I mean, probably, I probably have experienced some things you never. I actually got caught in a river. I almost died, actually. This is years ago, you know, and it was up in Kings Canyon. I was up at a camp, and I got caught into a rapid. You know, and I was hitting rocks left and right. My body was bruised afterwards, and it was one of my first near-death experiences. And at first, when I got caught into this river, I tried to swim against it. I mean, I tried, you know, and I'm a pretty good swimmer, right? And so I was just going crazy, and nothing was happening. I was even getting worse, and I finally just started to just go with the river, right? Just go with the flow, you know, and I just went with the flow, you know, and of course, watching out for rocks here and there. You know, and as I went, I actually got dipped down really deep. I shared this story before, right? I got dipped down really deep into this kind of a drop, and I couldn't get up for air. And when I went down into this drop, and I was trying to swim up, but the water's, you know, hitting it so hard, you know, that I couldn't get up. And I literally, my life flashed before my eyes. I saw everything. You know when you hear that, it's really true. I saw everything, right? It was the most amazing thing. And then in that one instant, the only way I can explain it must be God. I knew that I wasn't supposed to die at that point. And I just knew that I had to do something in my life. And right then, I just got up. And after I had a sense of that, I just got up from the water as fast as I could. I made it to the top, and I just swam. You know, and I found this clearing, and it was good. Everything was—I mean, it was just great. It was actually during a youth retreat. I was with our kids, and some of our—we're in there, and our kids, you know, they were trying to throw a rope to me. You know, I mean, I was going down for a good probably like 200 yards, 300 yards, man. Right? And so these kids were running down, and then there was this like these campers there, you know, and they were like, "Man, who's that idiot that's flowing down the river?" Right? And then they asked, "Who's your leader?" He said, "That's our leader. That's our leader flowing down the river, man, right? That's the idiot that's flowing down." It was just kind of just one of those times, you know. But the key in that whole crazy story was, right, you just learn to just go with the river, right? Have you heard that phrase, just learn to go with the flow? You know, and I just want the Spirit to be so full in my life and so full in the life of our church that we just let it flow, man, right? I mean, can you imagine what life would be like? You know, if you just let the Holy Spirit just lead you and just let it flow. I mean, how many sleepless nights have you had trying to make decisions? Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? Oh, is it this guy or that guy? Or, you know, or this girl or that girl? Or, you know, should I call her now? Should I wait 3 days? You know, or, you know what I mean? And just, you know, all these decisions and all these things. How great would it be when we just allow our lives just to flow with the Lord? You know, you can really have that. It's not just something that you can imagine. You can really have that. You know, where you just relax and just swim. Right? You just let the tide, right? You just let God's flow just take care of everything else. And you just kind of just go with that. Right? This is what the Lord is looking for. He wants that kind of surrender, you know, to flow through our lives. Right? Enough water, right, to swim in a river that could not be forded. You know, and then he continues on. He says, "Son of man, have you seen this? He brought me back to the bank of the river. Now when I returned, behold, on the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. And he said to me, 'These waters go out toward the eastern region, go down at the Arabah, they go toward the sea, made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh.'" Right? Actually, a better translation of that is it's not fresh, but the waters of the sea become healed. Right? See, this. Now, you have to catch this transition where he's taking Ezekiel, right? He's, in the first part, he's dealing with Ezekiel, right? He's saying, "Okay, I'm going to teach you, move on." And then he says, "Well, this is the benefit. See, this is what happens when you allow the Spirit, you allow God to fully infiltrate your life, right? You allow the Lord to really move on your life. Every place where the river goes, where you go, becomes healed." Becomes healed. You know what I mean? You know, that means, you know, you go back to your work, you know, and you sit in your desk, you know, and you got your colleague maybe in, you know, a couple cubicles away, or, you know, you got your secretary there, you know, wherever it may be, and fragmented, broken lives. But because you carry the river with you, because the flow is happening, you bring healing with you. Everything that it touches becomes fresh, becomes healed. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, just, you know, watching CNN, you know, or BBC, and it just seems like it's tornado, disaster after another. You know, and earthquake, and war, and famine. You know, and every time I watch that, there's just, you know, a kind of a churning inside. You know, just thinking, God, could you use me to change a whole situation? Right? To change nations? Right? To do something strategically? I don't know how it's going to work out. You know, but you know, I mean, this world that we live in is dark, man. It is just dark. It's getting worse every day. You know what I mean? I mean, every single day. I remember before, you know, when I was in L.A., you know, a lot of, you know, most of the stories were gang shootings and, you know, like crazy guys in the freeway shooting each other, you know, and these type of things. And it's nothing compared to what we see every single day in our news channels. It's a dark world. Someone's got to change it. Someone's got to bring hope. Someone's got to bring life. Someone's got to bring Jesus into the midst of these situations. Who is that someone going to be? It's going to be us. It's going to be you guys. When the water begins to flow through your life. You know, and maybe the world is too detached for you. Okay, and so, well, how about your own families? How many of your family members are so fragmented? Fighting with each other. Broken. Depressed. Suicidal. You know, in prison. You know what I mean? You know, and on drugs. You know, and just, you know, going through so many difficulties that are sick with cancer. You know, and sick with, you know, diabetes and diseases. They need light as well. They need Jesus to come in. They need their world to become fresh, to become healed. When does that happen? When the Spirit overtakes us. And He leads us in that place of healing. And it says, and it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river grows will live. That's revival. That's revival. Right? That's when God comes and ministers to us and we get moved and charged. And then we go out to the world and every living creature, every single one, that means everyone will be touched. They will live. You know, most of us here, I would probably say most of us here, I'd probably say 95% of us here, we are Christians, or we have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through some sort of revival through history. Through some revival. Right? Could have been the Welch revival, could have been Azusa Street, you know. I mean, I'm kind of a product of Azusa Street since, I, you know, I'm with the Assemblies. You know, also the charismatic renewal, you know, that happened, and you know the Korean revival in Pyongyang. You know, there's probably something, you know, through even in China, you know, the Shantung revivals and revivals of Jonathan Goforth, and you know, and if you, you know, have lived in the States at all, you know, maybe the revivals of Charles Finney, and you know, and then in England Wesley, and I mean, just so many, you know, wonderful men of God, women of God that have brought forth, you know, God's presence and power, and we're probably in some way touched by one of those revivals. And I bet if you did kind of a spiritual, kind of your own tree lineage, you know, a spiritual lineage, you'd be touched in some way by revival, right? By men and women of God that read the Scriptures and said, man, there's got to be more, right? And because of their lives and because of what the Spirit was doing, you know, so many people were touched, right? In every place where the river goes, will live. There'll be very many fish, for these waters go there and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it and get it to Eglim, and there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. I don't know about you, but one of the most frustrating things to me personally is witnessing. You know, I would appreciate much more success when it comes to witnessing, right, than I do now. You know, I've had a few opportunities. Actually took a guy out to eat this week. You know, he's a lot of our guys at our church, you know, he runs a basketball league, and we finally got together and just sharing Christ. I didn't realize his mom actually is a really good Christian, you know, and he's kind of the black sheep in his family. So I know there's an inroad there. I know his family's praying for him as well. And so, you know, he'll be at church here someday. And, you know, I play in a softball league. Just, you know, some of it is recreation, but a lot of it is I just want to be a witness. You know, and actually, I have a nickname on my team. You know what my nickname is? No, they call me the Rev. That's just my nickname, right? Sam the Rev Song, right? And so, you know, and so everyone in my team knows I'm a believer, and I just do my mere presence and just, you know, my attitude and my actions, you know, I want to portray Christ. And so hopefully, you know, I get a brother that comes up, you know, and I've had a few conversations, and I just want more, you know, but it's just kind of, you know, I mean, I want more success, you know, like many of you do in this area. But he says when the river flows, right, we're not going to be sitting there with little fishing pole, right? And fishing, we're going to be carrying nets with us. You know what I mean? I actually really hate fishing, to be honest. You know, I think it's so boring, right? I mean, that's why I don't play golf. You know, I need to run around, right? I need some physical contact, right? You know, but fishing, it just kind of doesn't do anything for me. And I go fishing sometimes, and it just bores the life out of me. But I remember, you know, I was in Mozambique, you know, and I remember during my quiet time, I was on the beach, and you know, during one of our mission trips, and it was just like, I couldn't sleep, I was jet lagged. So it was like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was on the beach praying, and all of a sudden I saw these guys, and they actually cast their nets, and they were just bringing the net in, right? I mean, there was like 15 guys, and it just took them forever to bring this thing in. And so I thought I'd just help them out, right? And so I grabbed a line. I was just pushing. I was so excited. You know, I mean, it was just excitement to see what's going to be in this net, man. You know, we're just pulling this thing in, right? It took like an hour and a half to pull this net in. You know, just this sense. And there were so many fish in there. There were so many, you know, lobster and shrimp. And I mean, just so much stuff just pouring in like this. And I remember sitting, why would anyone go fishing? You know what I mean? Just get a net, man. You know, I mean, just get a, forget, you know, I mean, you just catch so many in one load. You know, and that's what's going to happen when revival comes. It's not going to be one-on-one, you know, kind of, you know, I mean, that'll be part of it. But there'll be such a move of God that we'll be using nets, each one of us. You know, we'll just throw people over, you know, and I just want to be one of the most amazing things. You know, I share so much about our youth group, but, you know, when we were going through a season of revival, we'd have people literally walk into our church, you know, into our just really humble little sanctuary, you know, and people would walk in, and they would come face to face with the presence of God. I mean, it was so thick. And they would walk in the room, you know, and they didn't love God. They had no idea even Jesus was. And by the time the worship service was over, they come running to me and say, how can I be saved? It's the most amazing. It happened time and time and time again. You know, they just come and you know, they'll just get into the atmosphere, you know, we could say into the river, and they just get into it and they feel something they've never felt before. You know, the sense of sureness, the sense of contentment, you know, this yearning that was deep inside of them. You know, Ecclesiastes says, you know, God has set eternity in our hearts. And they have sensed eternity, maybe for the first time in their life. And they say, I got to have this. And we fished with nets, man. Right? That's how it happened. You know, and I mean, everyone just touched. Things were happening all over the place. You know, and it's swamps and marshes, verse 11. You know, will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt. And by the river on its banks, on one side and the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. And God says He's going to just continue to bless. Right? In other words, it's not just going to be a visitation. It's going to be a habitation. Right? That every month, right, we're going to grow. Things are going to happen. Right? I mean, God's just going to continue to move again and again and again over us. Amen? Are you hungry? I mean, are you sensing? You know, I don't know, is it just me and, you know, Jimmy and a few other people, right? But are you sensing? Maybe in the beginning I was talking about, it's kind of like just this holy dissatisfaction. You know, I mean, even with God things, right? With church and, you know, and just, man, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. You know, and I'm here to say to you, through God's trumpet, there is more. And it's available to you. The river wants to flow through you. Right? But, you know, like we say all the time, only you, you know, can give God that permission. Right? I don't know what it says. It's only you can dictate how close of a relationship that you want to have with God. Right? James says, draw near to me. Right? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. You get to dictate that. Every single one of you. Yeah, let's close our eyes. Yeah, the worship team up.
across the floor.
It starts as we abide in Christ. Carefully. There's many of you here, and there is a holy dissatisfaction in your life, especially in relating to things of God. Now listen very carefully. The enemy will want to come and say it's your fault. And don't listen to that, because God's coming with divine invitation today. Sometimes God makes us dissatisfied because He wants to value each of us to value the real thing. It is blessed to be hungry, church. It is blessed to thirst after righteousness. He says, "You will be filled." A prophetic proclamation today. You come to the Lord, He will fill you. The key is don't look to yourself. Don't say, "Oh, I blew it, God," and there'll be time enough for that. The key is flourish from just worshiping God. When it becomes all about Him, when it becomes all about Jesus, everything will flow. The river will flow. So I just want to encourage you now to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before Him endure the cross, despising its shame. And now He sits at the right hand of the Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, as we fix our eyes on You, Jesus, we say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come breathe over us. going to the Lord. Just keep going to the Lord. There's no formula. Just keep worshiping Him. Just tell Him you gotta have Him. Stand before the Lord. We're just going to continue to worship, and as we worship, I believe the Spirit is going to come and minister to many of you. If you're tired, you can sit down. No worries. We just want to take a posture before God today.
Lord, come in this place. place.
I just sense the Holy Spirit highlighting a few things. If you've been pretty disconnected with God, you know, whatever that means to you, you may not necessarily be the prodigal son, but you've been away. You may be here at church, but in your heart you've been away. And I think you know what I mean. And we want to minister to you. I just really feel the Spirit's invitation. I just feel like just across the board, God just comes and He says, a fresh start. A fresh start. Many of you will know more what that means than I do. I just sense the Spirit, just a fresh start. And so we want to minister to you today. And if you would have the courage or the boldness, I just invite you to come forward to the front. We're just going to pray for you. You know, you don't have to kneel, you don't have to do anything, but just open your heart up to the Lord. Just long for that word. Just feel disconnected with God. You know, you may have been here in body, but in soul and spirit, been galaxies away. If that's where you're at today, I just invite you to come. We're going to minister and ask Pastor Jimmy to come and help pray as well, Linda. You know, just sense that. Just come forward. If not, then it's okay. Just praying that God would reconnect. And the worship team is going to continue to lead us in prayer and worship. If you do sense that,
To be in the truth, and I will daily lift my head, for I will always sing of when your love came down.
I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love. Sing of your love forever.
Over the mountains, over the mountains and the sea, your ever-unending love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my head, for I will always sing when your love came down.
I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
I could
sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever.
Oh, I feel like dancing.
Oh, I feel like dancing. This foolishness I know. When the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. Oh, I could sing of your love.
Hands are okay. Church, that's holy water, man. Let's just pray for each other. Let's pray that God would just fill us. Let's pray that the river would flow to your brother and sister on the left and right of you. Pray that the Spirit would have life, would would have our lives. Excited, Lord, about the things that you want to do in our lives, God, the things that you want to do through our church. But God, more than anything else, Lord, we want to position ourselves, God, Lord, to be worshipers, Lord. We want to position ourselves, Lord God, that we may give to you, Lord, the fullness of our hearts, God. Lord, we bless you, God. I pray, Lord, for every single one of us, God, that you would continually connect us to you. God, let the water flow from your temple, God. And lead us, God. Teach us to walk, Lord. Teach us to pray. God, teach us to reproduce, Lord. And then teach us to surrender. We bless you, Father. We say, use us this week, God, Lord, to bring the expanse of your kingdom here in Hong Kong. We pray, God, that wherever place that we may go, Lord, that whatever situation, whatever it may be, God, that there will be life. Because you go with us. Thank you, Jesus. We say, Lord, come send revival, God. God, come send revival. Lord, let it start with me. Let it start with each one of us, Lord. We thank you so much, God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. You hug someone next to you. Thanks for praying for me. I hope you spend this week connecting with God. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Did you sense that?